Hi, my name is Jack Vaughn. I'm editor-in-chief for CertSoa.com. Joining me today is Judith Hurwitz, and our topic is cloud computing and what it means to the enterprise architect. Judith Hurwitz has been a thought leader in technology research and strategy consulting for more than 20 years. Currently, she is the president of Hurwitz & Associates, a research and consulting firm focused on identifying customer benefit and best practices for IT. Judith is co-author of Service-Oriented Architecture for Dummies, published by Wiley in 2007, and as a long-time hand, a long-time observer of the industry, I would say that she can tell SOA to dummies and also to some of the brighter and bestest of the people out there, and that's why we're turning to her for the cloud. So, Judith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and in fact, Jack, we are also coming out with two other dummies books. We're coming out with Service Management for Dummies, and then later in the year coming out with Cloud Computing for Dummies. So we're all over this dummies brand.
Hey, it certainly works, and we're looking forward to the Crash Test Dummies for Dummies book.
That'll be after that.
So, you know, what is cloud computing? If you could give us some perspective on what type of clouds are emerging and how they relate to traditional data centers and to SOA, I think that would be a useful place to start.
Certainly. Well, I think when we think about cloud computing, it's a mistake to think this is something that is brand new, never been done before, and just sort of, you know, appeared out of thin air, to continue the atmospheric metaphors. Actually, when we think about cloud computing, what we're talking about is providing computing resources that are not located at our own location, but in fact are hosted either in a remote data center or in a conglomerate of data centers. So in essence, it is related to a lot of the trends that we are seeing, which, you know, starts with hosting, software as a service, the idea that we are going to enable a third party to be responsible for our computing infrastructure. So loosely, that's really what it's about.
And so what is the architecture of the cloud? I guess it's up to every enterprise architect right now to figure out what it might mean to them.
Yeah, right now, I don't think there is sort of a set of definitions or a set of capabilities that really will be the deciding factor of what's the best cloud for you. Because we are early in the maturation of this form of outsourced computing. But I think there are a couple of important things to think about. What we've seen so far with clouds is something like the Amazon capabilities, where they allow developers to use compute resources and storage resources within their data center capability. And for a number of years, developers have actually used that as they were, let's say, testing a new application they were building. They didn't want to do it inside their own organization. Maybe they didn't have the resources. They didn't necessarily want to pollute their own servers with things that had not been tested yet. So this became a really inexpensive and logical way to get started. This you know, proved to be a really good business model for Amazon. But it is interesting if you think about this. I don't think Amazon started out to be in the cloud computing business. I think the motivation originally was, we have extra cycles. We've set up an infrastructure to sell books, and why don't we make money on some of the additional spare cycles that we have here, the extra storage. So they began offering as a service, and obviously it's grown quite a bit since then. And then you can look at other models like Salesforce.com. They are providing a specific application environment that they provide their own data centers, and it is in essence a multi-tenant capability, and you could call that a form of a cloud. but it will continue to, you know, so from those beginnings, and I don't think any of these companies sat there and said, okay, we are going to emerge with this architectural framework we call a cloud. But I think over time what we're seeing is that the cloud computing is actually going to probably go a little faster than it might have, I think primarily because of the financial situation that companies are finding themselves in today, where they need to obviously build things, they need to increase their computing capability, but they may not have capital budgets anymore, in which case they will be looking to software as a service and cloud computing to fill in the gap so that they can buy on a monthly or a yearly basis, have somebody else in charge, not having to buy servers, not having to add additional staff. So I think that that's going to accelerate the adoption. I also think that it's a little bit tricky to say at this point in time what architecture do I want. So we're a bit away from that. You see a company, for example, like Microsoft, basically announcing their cloud computing strategy, which will be based on actually building an operating system that is suited for that. You see companies like IBM building out cloud computing centers. Microsoft is also doing the same thing. IBM is taking a little different approach. Some of the interesting things I have heard from them is sort of a notion of ensembles. The idea that actually what you're going to do is to create reusable business services, a la service-oriented architectures, and create them and have them live on the cloud. So if I am a customer, I go in and say, "Gee, I need a service that executes order-to-cash transactions." And I might buy that, which lives on the cloud, but is a specific service. You're also seeing, you know, I would say that all of the major infrastructure players are jumping in with both feet. You see HP doing this. You see Oracle, quite a few others. It's also to think about the ramifications for a lot of the software as a service vendors collaborating with the cloud computing vendors. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting couple of years.
I wonder about Google. They really come out of certainly a different world than, say, IBM or Microsoft, and yet they've been fairly prominent in discussion about cloud.
Yes, and in fact, I was remiss in not naming them up front, because I think that clearly Google has done an incredible job, both of setting the bar at a different level in terms of both the way they provide software as a service on sort of a grand scale, both in an experimental mode. Here's, try this. It's in beta. And they obviously evolve that software as they get comments back. So their model is very definitely a cloud model of computing, and they have obviously built massive data centers. They are offering, you know, everything from desktop productivity software to email to hosting services to their customers, and I think they are clearly a company to watch. I mean, they've clearly learned a lot about, you know, building very scalable data centers and being able to scale as their constituencies grow, which is one of the very important issues for clouds. I think the other thing we have to keep in mind is that when we talk about cloud computing, it's not just sort of the server in the sky. There are a lot of issues related to that. Performance, scalability, reliability, security are probably the, you know, four of the most important issues that we need to think about around clouds. You know, we all see from time to time that there will be a news story that say Salesforce.com had a problem, They were out for 2 hours, or, you know, Google Mail was down, or, you know, whatever the specific issue was, where people consider that they're using this ubiquitous cloud or data center, whatever you want to call it, and it doesn't, you know, it's not there 7x24, and people get upset. So as people begin to really rely on these services, they have to be managed, they have to be scalable, they also have to be secure. So it's one thing to put your test data out there in the cloud because you are, you know, trying out something, but it doesn't have your corporate data in it. It's very another thing to then put your corporate applications and your key data. And from a issue of security and the type of regulatory environment we have been in for a number of years, which I think will obviously only get a little bit worse, that's going to be an issue. And I think, you know, manageability overall, if you look at service management, how do we manage highly distributed service environments where the key goal is to really not just look at, is a server working nicely, is an application running well, but you actually have to look at it from the customer perspective. Are my customers actually satisfied with the level of service, with the performance? If the customer isn't satisfied and you think everything is doing fine, you're not doing fine.
So are you going to have to ensure that you have good levels of manageability for these applications?
There's absolutely no question that as you move into clouds, and even as you move into, you know, more sophisticated software as a service environments, that manageability becomes the great inhibitor and the great enabler for clouds and for software as a service. Because, you know, I've been saying this for as long as I remember, if you can't manage it, you can't run it, you can't build it.
Yeah.
So manageability really becomes, you know, the key gating factor around this issue.
I'm interested in, you had mentioned an ensemble services, and are they similar or different to conventional web services?
Well, I think I would not call them web services specifically. I would call them business services. And the distinction is web services we really think of in terms of the interfaces between components, where business services are their process and rules. So for example, we may have a service that says, you know, confirm customer credit limit. That could be a service.
Yeah.
And since there are many organizations that will need a service like that, and if there's a best practice in place, here is a great service that does this. It's been tested 5,000 times. You can take it to the bank, so to speak. And if you can offer that to a customer to say, you can put your capabilities up here, or you could, in fact, go to the cloud and use one of our services that we've pre-designed based on some vertical industry requirement.
Okay. I guess one thought I had was, I don't know too much about Google, but it does seem that you would be using Python. Does it require you to become a Python language programmer?
I think when we are talking about clouds, and when we're talking about these environments, what we actually start to do is move, as the company using a cloud, we actually start to move away from thinking about what language do I need.
Yeah.
Which is really an interesting transformation, because now you're more looking at this from the process standpoint, from the business value, and we will actually reach the point, I would say probably in the next 10 years, when people won't even really, you know, from a sort of a cloud and a hosting for, you know, very complicated environments, we won't even be thinking about languages as much. I think I actually see a transition already where where people are thinking less and less about, gee, what language should I use, and thinking much more about what can I do to make my business more successful, leveraging emerging technologies.
Judith, I'd like to thank you for your time, and especially for speaking with SearchSoa.com.
It's my pleasure.
Well, this is Jack Vaughn telling folks that look forward to seeing you in the ether.